Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, we got a fun show for you this week. George spent the weekend at VoiceOver Atlanta, and he's got lots of cool stuff from there, especially this great thing, the Spanish Day that they did with Simon Pavil, and that's going to be talking about that. Also, you have an interview with Siri.
That's right. I have the original voice of Siri. Who's cool. Going to be on one that we interviewed as well. And we also want your questions, everybody. So it's going to be up to you to keep the show driving along tonight. Send them in to the chat room because this is live tonight. We want to have them and have you in the chat room providing us great content. So let us know what you want to talk about.
So join us. We'll be right on here on East West Audio Body Shop. We'll see all of you there.
He is the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He is a voice actor and the home studio master. Hailing from Buffalo, New York, his home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. This is Rob Marley from Austin, Texas. This episode of East West Audio Body Shop is brought to you by Edge Studio, providers of voiceover education, production, and technology. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials, products handpicked for voice actors. The Home Studio Master, get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. And VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop resource for voiceover success. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his soon-to-be former penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard, still in the East.
And I'm George Whittam, back in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. That sounds familiar for some reason. Anyway, good evening. Got a great show for you tonight, and a little bit different, something in Espanol, but I have a feeling there's lots of you out there that can actually speak Espanol. Yeah. Speaking of which, my son is in Argentina right now.
Oh, man, I hope he gets some great interviews while he's down there.
I hope so. and he can translate them, too. So, Luis, if you're watching down in Argentina, hola.
Yeah.
And we've got some footage from VoiceOver Atlanta, and we want to answer your questions tonight. So who's ever running the chat room tonight, whether it's Shelley or Anthony or whoever else feels like doing it, we want your home studio questions, or I'm sorry, your personal studio questions.
Yes.
And so George and I can talk about them. We've got a couple that were sent in, but we'd like to get more from our live audience out there in the chat room.
That's right.
So, but things are finally starting to warm up here in the East. And you notice that when you're walking your dog or dogs, that all of the Christmas ornaments that never got put away, the carolers' hats suddenly became visible. And then the top of the igloo with the penguin who would stick its head out, suddenly that became visible.
Holy cow. Snow melted. It was that deep.
Oh, it was 3 feet deep and it didn't melt for a month.
Whoa. Unbelievable. And those in Boston have it even worse.
Well, yeah, and it's melting there, too. It gets a little warmer in Boston.
But without further ado.
Time now to take a look at the news. EWAB's News.
All right, in the news tonight, this is an interesting one. Google Plus is going bye-bye. That's what it says here. Apparently, don't put too much energy into marketing there unless you have a bit of a network thriving there already. And we know there's a lot of groups there and stuff, but shift your focus to Instagram and Pinterest and maybe Snapchat. And I've noticed that myself, that people are now going to, Pinterest has been around for a while, and Instagram and Snapchat, they've all been there a while, but now, what is it that Google Plus is, what are they saying that Google Plus is they're breaking off or breaking it up?
What I understand what they're doing is they're kind of splitting it up into a couple of units. They're spinning off the photo part, which I personally use, They're spinning off the Hangouts portion. So those will continue to live on. The social media portion, we're kind of waiting to see what they're going to do with it. But the understanding right now is that they'll probably, it'll probably go the way of Buzz and Waves and all the other social media experiments they've had over the years. But yeah, this is all according to an article by a blogger named Jim Lynch at jimlynch.com. So, you know, I read the comments and people are like, "You're out of your mind, man. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm on Google Plus every day." There's definitely a big following on there. But it's kind of an enthusiast's following, if you know what I mean. It's like a niche of people that are really into certain things like video gaming and all that. But I don't think that the masses are on. Well, I know the masses are not on Google Plus.
Right.
So moving on to new things. Yeah, I also heard that Pinterest is picking up more men. It used to be like a 3 or 4 to 1 ratio women to men. So the fact that there's more men coming into it means it's getting sort of spread out more over a wider area. And then the Snapchat thing came to attention because of Katie Couric doing news programming on Snapchat. Cool. So they're trying to mainstream it. So maybe it's time to create a Snapchat account. I'm going to maybe do it this week.
All right.
In other news, the new MacBook is coming. I think all you Apple fanboys are very excited to see this. I know one particular is very excited that I know. D. Snyder said, "I'm getting it because it comes in black, and I only buy stuff that's in black." but it's coming in the middle of April, I think. You know, I feel like a broken record, but don't run out and buy a first generation product. Give them a little bit of time. If you just have some disposable income and you have room in your life for another laptop, go for it. It's here's what you need to know in a nutshell. It's about 14 millimeters thick, I think. I know it's about 2 pounds, which is even lighter than the smallest MacBook Air. It's fanless. So these are the pros. It's fanless. It's the first MacBook that is absolutely fanless, like an iPad. So if you need to have a laptop in a studio, this could be the right one to use. But I say could because there's a few things that I'm concerned about. One thing, it's using a lower speed processor than what the MacBook Air has. So it's yet a step down from the MacBook Air. That's one thing I'm concerned about. And two, it has one port. Doesn't have a charger and a couple USB ports and a Thunderbolt. It has a port, and it's called the USB-C port. And the USB-C port, thankfully, is a standard. It's not like it's something only Apple's going to have. Apparently, there's going to be other machines out there that use this port. But it's sort of like the Lightning port on an iPad. Makes me think, why didn't they just use a Lightning port, actually? But it has a port that's like a Lightning port, where all the charging goes, the video goes through, and it also acts as the USB port. So you're going to have to get, yeah.
Are they going to start like inventing one of those adapter plugs where it has another plug for everything?
Yes.
This one plug?
That's kind of what's happening. I mean, Apple says, why do you need all this stuff? Everything's wireless now. And they certainly said it's got the best of the Bluetooth spec. It's got the best of the Wi-Fi spec, of course. And we wouldn't expect anything less. But there's still a lot of people that need to copy pictures off cameras, you know, or record a voiceover. And for that, you're going to have some kind of a dongle, which you'll have to buy additional, of course. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see and what that dongle has, how many ports it has. Do other companies make dongles? You know, will you be able to get more ports? Well, you know, it's going to be fun. Right? It's a new standard, and you're going to see more computers out there like it.
Looking into my dongle.
You're looking into my dongle. Yeah. I mean, if you're like hungry to buy a MacBook and you're excited about this one, I would still probably pick up a MacBook Air. Pick up the 11 or the 13-inch if you want a lot of battery life. And tried and true, these machines are in their fourth generation. So I wouldn't go, I wouldn't jump on it real early. Again, unless you've got some disposable income and you want to have another toy to play with. So some of you are out there like that.
Well, cool. I can't wait.
Are you excited about it? Are you going to get one?
Well, I already have a MacBook, and I have a MacBook Air, and I have I still have my G4, and they all still work.
Yeah, you've got a little Apple museum started there.
I do, next to the microphone museum, and so, and they all have usage,
Yeah,
The G4 is the only thing that, that my Source Connect works on.
Right. You're holding out on upgrade.
You know, it's I still have to plug it in. The battery on that thing went years ago.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I still use that. I have the MacBook Pro the MacBook Pro I use for, you know, for doing a little bit of video work. The Air I use to carry around with me.
Yeah.
And my Mini drives everything else that goes on in here.
Do you find yourself using your iPad as often as you maybe were a year ago or less?
I use my iPad to listen to Radio Paradise at night.
Yeah. So it's getting...
And that's about it.
I hear that's a trend. I hear that people with iPads, especially people that went and got the new iPhones, have the 6 or the 6 Plus, they find they're using the iPad way less often because they have a pretty big screen now. And it kind of overlaps with their iPad. They're not using it that much anymore.
Right. I think when I update my iPhone, I'll probably go to the big 6.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, my wife uses her iPhone, her smaller one as a computer. She's not even on her computer. Of course, she misses everything all the time. And it's like, why won't this work?
Exactly.
Because you can't see it. So let's get a bigger screen. But, you know, they're becoming so powerful now that you should be able to use, you know, an iPhone for just about anything. And then, of course, you can get an iWatch.
Oh, yeah. It's not iWatch. It's just Watch.
The watch.
Apple
now,
watch.
What's fascinating thing about the watch, though, right. I mean, they're marketing it saying that, you know, you want to have to take your iPhone out of your pocket. Well, I thought that's what everybody liked. Isn't that the great thing is that you can take it out and, you know, and use your iPhone and it's there.
Right.
But now it's like, you know, I apparently people love it. It's not an annoyance.
They're inventing another thing that you didn't know you needed until you bought it category. Right. Which is what the iPad was.
I have my Fitband.
You have the Fitbit, yeah. That's probably the most practical thing I would imagine. But you know, one cool thing I didn't know that it does until this last keynote last week is the new watch. It's not just a Bluetooth thing where it has to be tethered to your phone.
Right.
It's Wi-Fi also. So if you're at home and on your Wi-Fi network, it has full connectivity. It will do a lot of things, including actually act as a phone. I don't know why anybody would
want a concept. Huh?
Why someone would want to use that as a phone, but it can do it. So we'll see. I'm going to wait in line for the $17,000 watch, the edition, what they call it, watch with the gold body and the 18 karat gold leather band. That's the one I'll be waiting for.
Dick Tracy calling jiu-jitsu. Dick Tracy calling jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I just forgot. There was one more cool thing about the new MacBook. Did you see, did you watch any of the video? The new trackpad design. It's now pressure sensitive. So
pressure sensitive?
Yeah, there's no clicking anymore. You can't actually click it, which some people are going to hate, right? Because there's no click.
Really?
I'm used to not clicking anymore. I use a trackpad and I just touch it, you know, tap it instead of click it. But the new one not only registers a click by pressing on it, and then when you press on it, it actually does this haptic feedback thing or whatever. So when you press on it, it jolts or something, and it makes you think it was clicked. And they said that those that tested it said it was indistinguishable from an actual click, but it's not moving. It doesn't move. It's just a sheet of glass. And then you can do things like if you press harder, it will do this. And if you press harder, it will do this. So you can have these touch sensitive things. I mean, it's, you know, Apple. It's like no one ever would have predicted needing this thing. But as soon as you use it for a few weeks, you'll be like, oh, I can't use anything else.
Or it'll be a horrendous failure.
We'll see.
It's going to be one way or the other. Yeah. Anyway.
That was...
And that's a look at the Webs News.
There you go.
Okay, very good. All right. Where else are you going to get information like this? I'm probably lots of places, but never as much fun as this place.
Hopefully not as fun.
Anyway, we've got some questions coming up from that have been sent in over the last couple of weeks. We'll get to those in a minute. And if you've got a question, put it in the chat room. And our fine monitor tonight, Shelly Avellino is our fine chat room monitor tonight. We'll get that question to us. And in the later part of the show, we'll get into some of those questions you have. And we've got Simone Fahil coming on with her segment from VoiceOver Atlanta. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Roger Leopardi, and you're watching East West Audio Body Shop.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
George and Dan, EWABs. They make our lives so much easier.
Oh, crap. What's wrong now?
All right. Yes, so we got a couple of questions this week. We want more. Remember, if you have a question about your personal studio, throw it in the chat room, and we will get it on the show a little bit later on after some of the interview segments we have. First question tonight. You're going to handle this one? I think we'll both handle both of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's divide and conquer, or just sort of go cooperation style on these, because they're pretty in-depth questions.
Yeah. All right, well, let's start with from Ron Grandia.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to read that. That's why it has my name.
That's what I was trying to say, even though he wrote this to me. But I'll let you take it.
Okay. All right, well, actually, these two questions may have some relate. They kind of relate, don't they?
Kind of, yes.
Yeah. From Ron Grandia, he says, it was about, is it, what's too dead? Too message dead. Is there, is it too dead? No, with the night of the living dead. Message is, is there such a thing as having a room that is too dead? How can one tell? What are the remedies? Thanks. This is a toughie. Yes, there is such a thing as a room that's too dead. That would be an anechoic chamber. So if you've ever heard of an anechoic chamber, these are test facilities for testing equipment, speakers, microphones, helicopter engines, all sorts of stuff. And they're spaces that have absolutely zero acoustical properties of their own. And those are what we consider be too dead. So that's a space where when you speak, you can almost not hear your own voice. It's sort of like, I don't know if you ever heard a gunshot in a forest and it sort of ricochets off the trees. But then if you fire a gun in an open field, it just sort of goes pop and doesn't make much noise. It's kind of like that. That would be too dead. Okay, that's ridiculous. No one's going to have a space that dead in their house. But if every square inch of your space is completely 100% absorbing and too much of it is extremely thick or heavy material, which is not rarely is a problem unless you over bass trap. But if you do manage to over bass trap a space, it could be too dead. Sometimes it sounds like you're talking into a pillow, or you just sort of get a really muffled sound. It's not too often I hear that. Dan, do you hear recordings and think, that's just a little too dead? Is that?
No, I mean, and I generally tell people to try and keep it as dead as possible. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved. Well, let's demonstrate first off what liveliness and deadness is in real time.
Okay.
For example, you're hearing me in this is my outer booth. It's also, the studio we do the show in, but this is my general work area. And you can essentially tell the size of the room from, just from the way you know, my voice is bouncing off the walls. Of course, there's about 400 less books in the bookshelf now because those have.
Oh, I think it does sound a little bit more lively than before.
A little more lively, a little more hollow. But if I go in my booth and let me change microphones, because we can do that.
High tech. Here he goes. I pan the camera.
Okay,
a little bit.
And now you hear me in my booth. This is dead. But just enough liveliness. Now, the great thing about a booth like this is I can, if I close the door, you won't be able to see me, but you'll hear it's even deader now. And that's, if I need to, say, adjust the liveliness at all, I can open the door, and it's sort of like a diapason on a grand, on a pipe organ.
now it's all clear to me now.
Makes total sense. I don't know what a diapason is, but I heard some organist describe it. And it had to do with opening these gates on the pipes and stuff like that. But, you know, this is, you know, of course, we have studio suit in here, no longer available for the time being. But it, by having a dead room, and let me change mics again. Ow, darn. Am I back on the right mic here? 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Yes.
The thing about having a dead room is that better a dead room that you can manipulate or an engineer can manipulate.
Yes.
As opposed to having too lively a room. Well, I'm sure people argue that, well, you've got to have some sort of liveliness. If it's totally dead, it's easier for an engineer to EQ it or add some, just a slight bit of reverb in. Sometimes, you know, I think this is too dead. And if I want it to sound a tad more lively, I can adjust it. And I can adjust it as I'm listening. Okay, now it sounds like there's a little bit more depth to the room without really losing, you know, the tonality that I put into it.
What are you using to do that?
I'm using the reverb in Adobe Audition. And I've got it turned down to, you know, 1-2%.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, just very little.
Yeah, so it sounds like I'm in more like in this room.
Yeah,
I mean, actually a little bit less than that.
You can add reverb if you know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing.
People think, you know, when you're talking about reverb, like it's going to sound like you're in a stadium. You know,
yeah,
that,
no, I don't.
That's
do
not
that,
good. No, but you can add what might be is some people might call ambience to a room. That it's just that is something that you can do if the room is dead. But if the room is already too live, there's not a plugin made yet that will make a totally live room sound dead. They're getting there, but it's not there yet. So
that's can a room be too dead? Probably not.
Not very likely in most home studios is that possible.
Right. And if you can get it really dead in your home studio, then you're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a good place to start. Start too dead. All right, you're going to do the next one and I'll chime in. This is a long one. This is a long one, folks.
Yeah, because now if I lose you somewhere in the middle here, just, you know, send a telegram and we'll get it in a couple of weeks here. Okay. Keith David Moore, subject: open concept living dining room voice booth.
Keith David. I know Keith David. I heard him voicing a great Ken Burns documentary the other night.
Cool.
Oh, maybe the Moore. Oh, it's Keith David Moore. I thought you wanted
Moore
to Keith David. Okay, never mind. I'll shut up.
Moore, M-O-O-R-E. Anyway, according to, I guess he read an article by F. Alton Everest, whoever that is, Will It Work and More. Hi, Dan and George. Okay. I rent an apartment and don't have a spare bedroom. Okay. Using the textbook info outlined below, I want to acoustically treat minimal structural construction. It is an apartment, after all. An open concept voiceover booth in my dining room, living room. Now it's starting to sound like a real estate improvement show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the open concept focal booth. The dining area is roughly 6 by 7 feet and is attached on the long side of the living room that is 20 by 13 feet. The ceiling is for both is 8 feet. F. Elton Everest's Master Handbook on Acoustics explains in the Center Voice Studio that you can create a very good vocal booth in a large space. 23 by 16 by 10 is his example.
That's like the size of a garage, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Exactly. by treating a third of the space in two very distinctive ways, soft option, hard option. The soft option involves treating the entire one-third with 2-inch Sonex, and the hard option involves treating one-third of the area with strategically placed 2x2 panels for first reflections. The other side of the room would be treated with diffusers. Bonus, Everest states that having a room 20 feet or more in length allows the bass response to drop all the way to 28 hertz. And we all know how much that hurts. Not that you need that, but wow, have you tried either of these methods, soft, hard, in a large space? How well did they work? How well did they work in comparison to a voice booth closet? Any other suggestions for building a voice booth in a large area and making it look aesthetically pleasing for a living room? In using the above method, my plan is to do-it-yourself construct a two 4x6-foot tall gobo panels and some ceiling treatment that I can place close to the dining room walls. However, I did notice on all of George's projects on the VOStudioTech.com site, which you should all go to every now and again, that all of his clients have 4x2 or 2x2 panels spaced out in their rooms. Is the spacing out of the panels in a voice studio critical to good sound, or can you have one or two massive panels that have the same surface area as spaced out panels? Lastly, if that wasn't enough, with all of the talk about carcinogens and fiberglass, can you tell me anything about Ecos by Knopf, which is apparently green-friendly with no formaldehyde versus rock wool in a voice studio environment? Any tips about DIY panels? Thanks, guys. Love your show. Except that he just took up half of it.
You know, when you send your question in, expect that we will actually try and attempt to answer it on the show.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. No, we appreciate the question. We got to break this thing down, right, into a couple pieces.
Yeah. And I have my thoughts on it, but you can go first.
Well, I'll kind of start at the bottom. I like the panels made by ATS Acoustics. They're green or eco panels. They make panels that have no formaldehyde, and they are made out of eco materials. And they also have panels made with a recycled cotton
batting.
I'm just my daughter behind me trying to kill herself. Cotton batting that is extremely, extremely green because it's made out of recycled denim. So those are my favorite types of materials to use because they don't let off any kind of gassing. You don't have to off gas them. You don't have to worry about them stinking up the space. So I like that. In regards to treating a really big room, if you're lucky enough to have a space that big to work with, well, you know, good for you. And secondly, if you're lucky enough to have a space that big enough that's quiet enough, well, double good for you. I mean, that's incredibly rare to have a space that large that will not be disturbed from noises from the outside. And it's why it's very rare for someone to work in a space that large in a home. Commercial recording studios have that luxury because they spend, you know, $500,000, $2 million, $4 million on building, you know, completely isolated, gigantic spaces. But, you know, it's just impractical for most people. Yeah, as the room gets bigger, there's a good point in the middle of this Everest thing saying that in a bass, in a big room, the bass response, I think he meant resonance, drops down to 28. Well, that's great. I mean, unless you're recording.
You can't hear that.
Yeah, you're recording church organs. Not a problem. If your room is at least, you know, 8x12 feet or so, it's going to have a resonance point that's below maybe 100 hertz anyway. So for most people, that's not going to be a big problem. A little high pass filtering will deal with it in most cases. So I wouldn't even think about it. In regards to making it look pretty, Dan, I mean, what would you do? What would be the spousal acceptance factor on treating the entire living room of your house to sound like a studio, but not look like one? What the heck would you do?
I would start off with basically saying this.
yeah, probably.
Way overthinking it.
Yeah.
You know, we have some ways of dealing with this. I of course don't believe in the big room, especially for voiceover, because you can create, as we were just talking about, you can create the size of the room you want. In order to do a big room like that, you're talking a fair amount of investment. Because you've got to buy the panels, you got to design all this stuff. But yeah, he says, well, I can have it as a gobo and I can move this stuff over here. And, you know, you could like paint a Japanese waterfall scene on one side of the gobo and then just put it up to the side, yeah, you know, and fold it off. And, I mean, Is it really necessary? You know, you don't have a closet, just a quick little small gobo booth that you use. And there's a great picture of George in that one you designed that's hanging from the ceiling and stuff like that, that folds out, or, you know,
a panels PVC, on wheels, or
Or the PVC booth, you know, the 4x4 of which I still have one if somebody wants to buy it. You know, it, you can cover it with acoustical blankets and then cover those with shears, or again, use some nice silk painting of a Japanese waterfall scene.
And
it just folds into itself and no one will know it's there.
I think
he's way overthinking this. And it's like,
this is what happens
in here.
This is what happens when you spend too much time researching this stuff in books that are talking about designing recording studios for musicians. They have to
Your dining room.
Yeah, they have to accommodate several musicians, and all of them have to get a nice sound. So it takes a tremendous amount of space and materials to do that. You're recording a microphone of a voice. So it's much more practical to just take a small portion of that space, just like Dan said, and enclose it partially with some gobos or movable panels. You know, and you'll still get the advantage of the big room in terms of bass trapping. Well, you won't have to bass trap because the low end will just sort of go out into the room that won't resonate. And the high stuff, the stuff that you hear the most in the mic, the more mid to high frequency stuff, that will that'll get sucked up by the panels. So, you know, have fun, but this sounds like something that most people could never even dream of achieving and probably wouldn't want to spend the money and the space on doing. So
not for just a single voice sort of studio.
I
think that's just a little bit much.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't say what he was going to use it for, but in the context of what we do,
for telephony, you know,
not worth it.
All right. Well, we've got a great segment coming up with Simone Fogil, who's going to be talking about Spanish stuff. You know, so get ready to translate and enjoy that segment. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop. So. Stay where you are, okay?
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
Danny did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
No, not really. Not this week so much.
So far, perfect.
That's right. We might have to change that. Where some weeks are Apollo 13.
That's right. Well, you were at VoiceOver Atlanta this week. Had a good time?
Yeah, had a great time. Really a nice crowd, great vibes, great speakers. You know, it was really a fun time. A lot of really great people to see. You know, the longer we do this, the more people we know, and that makes it even more fun. But I really wanted to get something special for you guys tonight. And for those of you that speak Spanish, of course, this is going to be really, really helpful, I hope. This is Simone Fogil, who is a wonderful person we both know. And she spearheaded a panel, actually not just a panel, but a whole day at Voice Atlanta. It was the Spanish-speaking language day. And she lives in Tampa Bay, Florida, and she's got national and international.
In Tampa. If she lived in Tampa Bay, she would be all wet.
Right. I'm just reading what's written.
Okay.
and international clients, originally from Uruguay, and she studies mass communications at the University of Montevideo. She was a radio...
Montevideo.
Thank you. Montevideo. All the Spanish-speaking folk in the audience are laughing hysterically at my terrible ability to read anything in Spanish. She was a radio jock and personality for 13 years at Oceano FM in Uruguay. Also did copywriting, audio imaging, and VO. And she's going to interview Emma Rodero from Spain. She's an author of 10 books about radio broadcasting and VO in Spain. Also a VO talent and VO coach and research leader at UCLA regarding the impact of the human voice and how it what the impact of the human voice has in advertising. That's going to be a big deal in the future when more and more computerized voices come along. And finally, Renee Figueroa. I really did rehearse this. From Colombia, owner and director at Academia ESO. Is that how you say it? ESO? Locución. He has been the Spanish voice for BBC, Voice of America, and now voice of TNT series in Spanish. So if anybody in the chat room wants to chat, translate a little bit of what's happening here, it would be awesome. We'll put it in the show notes for you, those of you watching. And, well, I'll stop blabbing. And here we go. Enjoy a little bit of Espanol.
Crear el marketing correcto. Como nos vemos nosotros mismos es muy diferente a como nos ven las demás personas. Entonces es importante que entiendas que lo que tú crees que eres no es lo que están viendo las otras personas. En el momento en que entiendas eso, vas a entender que tienes que empezar a cambiar tu forma de ver el cómo te ves a ti mismo. Desgraciadamente aquí en los Estados Unidos, la gente no tiene la cultura que existe aquí de tomar clases y de entender que esto es un negocio y que tienes que prepararte en este negocio. Lo veo con mis compañeros que toman un curso y piensan que ya después de ese curso ya pueden ser locutores. No es así. Tenemos que entender que un médico no tomó un curso de fin de semana y empezó a practicar medicina. Es lo mismo. Sé que la comparación es bastante abismal, pero es cierto. O sea, no puedes empezar a hacer un malabar con tres bolas y pensar que vas a ser parte de Cirque du Soleil. Tienes que entender que te tienes que preparar por muchos años. La persona que escribió Outliers dice que son 10.000 horas. 10.000 horas son más o menos como 10 años de trabajo enfocado en algo. Entonces, en el momento en que tú entiendas que tienes que ser un profesional y que esto es un negocio y que tienes que prepararte para tener éxito, es cuando vas a empezar a tener más trabajo.
Imagínense qué honor puede ser para mí estar aprovechando esta maravillosa oportunidad de brindarles el primer programa íntegramente en español que EWOBS está transmitiendo en toda su historia. Y creo que será una experiencia inolvidable, como lo ha sido para mí toda esta jornada, el Spanish Voice Over Day, la primera conferencia pura y exclusivamente dedicada a los locutores hispanos radicados no solamente aquí en Estados Unidos, sino también locutores que han venido de tantos países. Nunca me imaginé que en un salón, siendo apenas 20 personas, podíamos juntar 11 países. Uruguay, en realidad tendría que decirlo a lo último, porque yo soy de Uruguay, bueno, voy subiendo por el mapa y a lo último vuelvo a Uruguay. Argentina, Bolivia, Colombia, Venezuela, Panamá, República Dominicana, México, Panamá,
Colombia
y Puerto Rico y España. La verdad que, bueno, España de Europa y Uruguay. Me siento inmensamente feliz porque Gerald Griffith me haya brindado esta preciosa oportunidad de materializar un sueño que vengo añorando y guardando dentro mío hace un tiempo. Y debo reconocer que uno de los puntos originales de inspiración que me han servido para organizar este Spanish Voice Over Day ha sido la comunidad de locutores estadounidenses. Tras haber participado en una serie de congresos en distintas ciudades del país, de los Estados Unidos, donde tengo la suerte de vivir desde hace 9 años, he podido advertir y percibir un sentimiento de camaradería, de compañerismo, de desinterés a la hora de compartir conocimiento, de brindar experiencias al mismo nivel, sin ánimo de creerse uno superior por estar encima de un escenario con respecto a los demás, sino hablar todos en un mismo nivel, en un mismo idioma y con una misma pasión. Y eso me ha inspirado profundamente para que hagamos algo similar a los locutores hispanos en un momento donde la industria de los medios a nivel global y toda esta globalización que estamos viviendo también se traduce en esa exigencia que debemos plantearnos, esa profesionalización que debemos plantearnos los locutores hispanos en un mundo cada vez más cambiante, más vertiginoso y más exigente y con más oportunidades para todos nosotros. Somos la, aquí en Estados Unidos, como bien saben, la minoría mayoritaria y tenemos una proyección de crecimiento insospechada que va a beneficiar no solamente a la economía de los Estados Unidos, sino a todos, a todas las partes involucradas en los medios de comunicación. Tengo a mi lado a dos de los speakers que hemos tenido a lo largo de este Spanish Voiceover Day, un día que ha sido histórico para todos nosotros y también para la historia de Voiceover Atlanta, que apenas tiene 3 años, pero a nivel del país, de Estados Unidos, creo que para los locutores hispanos ha sido una jornada histórica. Les quiero presentar a Emma Rodero, española, radicada desde hace prácticamente 2 años en Los Ángeles, perdón, en Estados Unidos. Vivió primero en Indiana y luego ahora está viviendo en Los Ángeles. ¿Qué puedo decir? De Emma, currículum es interminable, como el de René. Me pasaría todo el programa, pero no quiero especificar demasiado, pero a grandes rasgos. Estás conduciendo una investigación hoy por hoy en las UCLA, patrocinada ni más ni menos que por la Comisión Europea. Ha escrito 10 libros, todos ellos enfocados en la radiofonía, en la locución. Es comunicadora social recibida con honores, locutora especializada en oratoria, profesora, investigadora. ¿Sigo?
No, creo que no. Yo estaba...
Y tiene 41 años.
Por si alguno...
Y 10 libros editados.
Sí, sí, sí. Bueno, para mí de verdad ha sido un gran honor poder estar en este primer día que dedicamos, porque digo, es un primer día, para mí es un primer día. Hay mucha gente que seguro que nos está viendo ahora y que está diciendo yo quería estar ahí, pero yo creo que para todos ellos vamos a tener una respuesta también y vamos a intentar organizar algo en otros sitios. Así que a todos los que nos estáis viendo y hubierais querido estar aquí, vamos a intentar estar juntos, porque creo que una de las conclusiones principales que podemos extraer de este congreso, de este día que hemos tenido dedicado a la locución en hispana en este caso, es que debemos unirnos, debemos estar unidos y debemos realizar una labor pedagógica muy importante. En dos sentidos, yo creo, ¿no? El primero, por la parte que me toca, evidentemente yo creo que los locutores deben conocer a fondo su instrumento vocal y sacar al máximo el partido que tiene la voz y todas las posibilidades que tiene, ¿no? Pero sobre todo creo que debemos realizar una labor pedagógica en el otro sentido también, que es debemos acercarnos a los empresarios y hacer valorar nuestro trabajo. Es una profesión para la que estamos preparados, para la que evidentemente todos especialmente trabajáis mucho. Y yo creo que hay que poner en valor esa profesión y hay que hacerle ver al empresario que hay determinadas tarifas que no se pueden aceptar, hay determinadas formas de trabajar que no se pueden aceptar porque están trabajando con un profesional. Y por la parte que me toca, en la parte de investigación, podemos de alguna manera demostrar a mucha gente que cuando una locución está mal hecha, eso afecta de forma muy negativa al mensaje y eso, por tanto, es una pérdida de dinero para el propio empresario. Así que vamos a intentar hacer las cosas bien y vamos a intentar que no solamente nosotros hagamos las cosas bien, sino fundamentalmente que el resto del mundo vea cómo hacemos las cosas a través del branding, del marketing y haciendo esa labor pedagógica importantísima de cara al empresario. Yo creo que es una buena conclusión.
Emma justamente abordó algunas conclusiones a modo de primicia de la investigación que está conduciendo y ya la finalizaste, ¿no es así? Uh-huh. En la UCLA, sobre el impacto de la voz a nivel publicitario, a nivel como del fenómeno de la comunicación. Y René, ella casualmente, Emma, fue la responsable de abrir nuestra jornada, nuestro Spanish Voiceover Day, y René fue el último, el que le puso una frutilla a esta deliciosa, a este delicioso pastel, a esta torta, representando al precioso país de Colombia y con una trayectoria más que reconocida, no solamente en Latinoamérica, sino a nivel mundial. Yo les cuento que René fue y es hasta el día de hoy un gran pionero a la hora de construirse una carrera internacional, y lo hizo en los tiempos en los cuales sitios P2P, los bancos de voces online, no existía, internet no existía tampoco, y tuvo la suerte de además de haberse construido una carrera como reportero, como redactor creativo publicitario, como publicista, también como locutor, y lo supo desde muy pequeño envisionó una carrera a nivel de los medios de comunicación y entendió, con toda esa ternura e inocencia de la infancia, entendió que él tenía una misión a través de la voz, que entendía que a través de la voz él podía transformar cosas, ¿verdad? Y de hecho nos transformó con su preciosa voz y con toda su experiencia una charla donde nos hizo ver cuáles son los elementos más importantes para aquel locutor que quiera proyectarse internacionalmente. Para concluir con la presentación de René, les quiero contar que en plena década de los años 70, justamente cuando no existían los bancos de voces ni internet, René fue seleccionado como locutor para la BBC y se fue a vivir a Londres. Después se fue a vivir a Washington D.C. para Voice of America, la voz hispana para Voice of America, y bueno, ha sido la voz para Canal A. También ha trabajado, sí, para RCN. ¿Viste cómo me acuerdo de memoria tu currículum, sí, no? Y mira que ya a esta edad el cerebro no funciona tan rápido. Y por mí lo digo. Y además, bueno, acaba de firmar contrato con TNT Series. Es la flamante voz hispana para TNT Series. Está llegando a 40 millones de personas con sus promos. No les puedo explicar lo que sabe René. Aparte, también como Emma, es docente. ¿Qué impresión te ha dejado toda esta jornada, porque nos has acompañado en distintas conferencias? ¿Qué clima has sentido en este pequeño salón en comparación a otros, con 11 países representados y siendo 20 personas de 11 países en un solo lugar?
Bueno, sentí pues una camaradería increíble, sentí que me recibían, me daban una bienvenida que realmente no la esperaba, tan efusiva, tan calurosa. Y que después de la charla se acercaron a mí con esa gratitud, a expresar su agradecimiento. De verdad me siento anonadado, me siento abrumado de haber recibido tantas muestras de aprecio, de amistad, de agradecimiento. Y no creía que eso iba a ser así.
¿En serio?
No me imaginaba. Por lo general, estos eventos, estas convenciones, congresos, pues suelen ser un poquito fríos, y, pero creo que nos integramos muy bien.
Si hay algo que defina esta profesión desde un punto de vista negativo, es el ego. Una de las cosas que yo he aprendido en estos últimos años es que, sobre todo en este último año, he tenido lecciones de vida muy fuertes relativas a mi carrera, es que el ego no es del todo malo, ¿no? El ego es bueno cuando uno lo proyecta positivamente para su enriquecimiento personal, para proyectarse, para proyectar su luz al mundo, ¿verdad? Ese es un ego bueno. No siempre el ego es algo negativo y que, ay, que yo soy el mejor de todos. Claro, por supuesto que como toda profesión artística, porque yo entiendo que la locución profesional es un arte, porque somos actores de la voz, también, bueno, eso puede propender a que haya una proyección muy negativa de nuestro ego. Y por el contrario, yo siento que hoy, más allá de diferencias de personalidad, que es sano que así sea, como en todo grupo de personas, aquí no ha reinado el ego. Yo creo que ha reinado una horizontalidad, y miren que hemos tenido participantes de una trayectoria. Tenemos participantes que han empezado a los 13 años a ser locutores y tienen 34 años. Y son de las principales voces, por ejemplo, de Puerto Rico. Estamos hablando de gente de Santo Domingo que son autoridades y tienen 30 y pico de años y hablan como si tuvieran 40 años de carrera. ¿Ustedes no han tenido esa sensación?
Yo sí, la verdad es que sí, pero es gente, decías, muy joven, pero es gente al mismo tiempo con mucha experiencia, la verdad. Yo creo que al final, ¿no? Lo que nos queda a todos es que todos somos locutores hispanos. Para mí esa es la mayor sensación. Es decir, no importa de qué país eres, no importa de dónde vengas, al final todos tenemos algo en común. Y eso se ve en sesiones como la de hoy. Hay algo que tenemos que nos hace diferentes al resto. Y yo creo que eso es lo que debemos explotar al final y debemos buscar esos puntos de apoyo entre nosotros mismos. Nos debemos apoyar, nos debemos poner en contacto y tratar, digamos, de sacar adelante nuestro trabajo de manera más digna, ¿no? En este caso.
René, nosotros mencionábamos con Emma y también lo hemos hablado entre varios locutores, de que lamentablemente al locutor y al artista hispano y al hispano en general, y no solamente aquí en Estados Unidos, de parte de los americanos hacia los hispanos, sino entre nosotros nos desvalorizamos bastante, como que nos tiramos muy abajo. No nos pagamos bien entre nosotros. Hablo de empresarios o agencias, a no ser que, bueno, pertenezcas a algún sindicato, pero siempre al americano lo ven como un profesional que vale más frente al hispano. ¿Cómo harías vos, qué sugerirías vos para revertir esa situación? ¿En qué tenemos que cambiar los locutores? ¿Tenemos que educar a los empresarios, como decía Emma? ¿Por dónde tiene que pasar el mensaje para que ese sentimiento de autoestima, a veces un poco castigada, un poco arrugada, pueda plancharse y pueda lucirse mejor?
Bueno, yo creo que nos falta a los locutores hispanos el sentido de pertenencia, el sentido de saber el valor de agremiarse, de pertenecer a entidades y a asociaciones en donde pues, se propende porque se mejore la profesión y porque los locutores tengan mejores condiciones de trabajo, porque haya unas tarifas definidas, pero el locutor es esquivo a afiliarse a las asociaciones, a agremiarse.
Porque piensa más en lo que es en el valor económico que tiene asociarse y el beneficio automático que va a recibir de eso que el sentimiento de pertenecer a una organización que lo represente.
Sí, sin sentido de pertenencia no podemos hacer nada. Ya hemos hecho algunos intentos con la creación, que se alcanzó a crear y empezó a funcionar la Federación Hispanoamericana de Locutores, que la creamos en La Habana y después hicimos varias reuniones en República Dominicana, en Panamá, estuvimos también en Veracruz, en México, y pues se alcanzó a adelantar algo, pero después las cosas quedaron dormidas, no se volvió a convocar a otra reunión. Apenas hicimos 3 congresos y así quedó.
Y eso es lo que no puede pasar con nosotros dentro de 24, 48 horas tras finalizarse este evento, ¿verdad?
Yo creo que la iniciativa de algunas personas, como el colega de México y otras personas, es muy interesante.
Contale a la audiencia.
Que nos constituyamos en un seminario itinerante y que vayamos a llevar este conocimiento a todos los locutores de los diferentes países en donde hace muchísima falta la academia en cuanto a la voz.
Ustedes piensan, Emma, por ejemplo, en España, ¿no? ¿Tú pensás que los locutores españoles son un poco reticentes a la hora de aprender cosas nuevas? Como que tiende a conformarse con lo que ya sabe y ese es su caballito de batalla y piensa que ir a un profesor para perfeccionar determinadas técnicas es una manera de decir, no soy lo suficientemente bueno o estoy demostrando que no sé tanto como los demás piensan.
No, yo la verdad es que en España no. Yo creo que los locutores españoles, que por otro lado los hay muy, muy buenos, están ávidos de buscar más formación y esa es un poco mi experiencia, porque, bueno, al fin y al cabo yo sí que he dado muchos cursos en universidades, en muchas, incluso para emisoras de radio, sí que buscan esa reciclarse muchas veces o bien formarse en todo caso. Sí, yo creo que el problema de la locución en España no es tanto ese como la falta de organización. Yo creo que hay muchos locutores muy buenos ahora mismo, que están en su casa grabando en una habitación solitaria y que están cobrando una miseria, y lo digo así porque es verdad.
Por favor, contale
sí,
a
es decir, hay locutores que pueden estar cobrando, y lo decía esta mañana aquí, incluso 5 euros y
5 euros verdaderamente, que equivalen a unos 7 dólares.
Verdaderamente una miseria. Y yo creo que lo que hace falta en España es esa unión, es decir, es organizarnos y decir, bueno, aquí hay unas tarifas mínimas, esto es un trabajo, somos profesionales. Como digo, los locutores españoles, los dobladores españoles son muy buenos, el doblaje que se hace en España es increíble, y lo que falta es eso, es decir, bueno, vamos a unirnos y decir, esto no puede seguir así, aquí no puede grabar cualquier persona y necesitamos unos mínimos de calidad, ¿no? Yo creo que ese es el punto pendiente de España en este caso.
Yo creo que es como un denominador común, esa falta de organización.
La apatía,
la apatía. Personalmente a mí me ha pasado, como integrante de la Asociación de Locutores Profesionales del Uruguay, la cual tuve y tengo el inmenso honor de haber fundado con otro núcleo de notables. Yo en esa época recién empezaba mi carrera, y lo digo con mucha humildad, frente a notables locutores que siguen ejerciendo hasta el día de hoy y otros que lamentablemente ya no están, que siguen siendo tremendos referentes para nuestros colegas en Uruguay. Y la capacidad de organización y de generar atracción, interés a otros colegas, no solamente para que participen en actividades relativas a la asociación, sino para que asistan a cursos de perfeccionamiento, es horrible. Es horrible. Yo no logro explicarme por qué pasan esas cosas. No sé si en Colombia pasará igual, pero en Uruguay se han intentado hacer un montón de cosas. Escúchame, el pasado 10 de octubre de 2014, ALPU, la Asociación de Locutores Profesionales del Uruguay, cumplió 20 años y no fue mucha gente a celebrarlo. O sea, fue, saludó, tomó algo, me tengo que ir. No lo vivieron como una fiesta propia, no se sintieron protagonistas de esa celebración. Yo no sé, ¿en Colombia pasan ese tipo de cosas
igual,
también?
Pasa igual, tenemos una asociación que ya, a pasar de los 65 años de existencia, y la apatía es total, porque la gente viene a la asociación con una filosofía de cuál es el beneficio que yo voy a obtener. No viene espontáneamente hacer un aporte a la profesión, sino viene a buscar un beneficio.
¿Cómo se puede cambiar eso? O sea, ¿cómo se puede generar una corriente de cambio, de avidez por el conocimiento? Lo digo en general, o sea, porque por lo que he visto aquí, yo dudo que los que han asistido a nuestros Spanish Voice Over Day se haya tomado el avión para pasar un precioso día en Atlanta, primero porque se pasó lloviendo todo el tiempo desde que Voice Over Atlanta comenzó. Yo no he salido del hotel en todo el día, ellos tampoco. ¿Por qué creen ustedes que ellos han sentido la atracción de venir a este evento y quizás en sus propios países no lo viven con la misma intensidad?
Siempre hay gente especial en algunos países y en todas las profesiones. Hay gente de toda clase, gente muy interesada, gente con gran proyección internacional como la que vino hoy. Es gente que quiere proyectarse al mundo de la locución más allá de las fronteras de sus propios países.
Sí, yo opino lo mismo, estoy completamente de acuerdo. Es gente ávida por saber y ávida, y sobre todo de salir de sus fronteras y buscar, pues eso, nueva información. Hoy se ha dado aquí mucha información, muchos trucos, no solo relativos a la locución, sino también a la parte técnica, que al final, porque al final los voiceovers, los locutores, necesitan ser profesores, necesitan ser técnicos, necesitan ser relaciones públicas, lo hemos comentado, necesitan ser todo. Entonces hay que aprender de técnica, hay que aprender de técnica vocal, de técnica como tal, hay que aprender tantas cosas que al final ese apoyo entre nosotros, ese el circular esa información, pues es muy importante. Y yo creo que bueno, la gente que hemos tenido hoy aquí es gente que nos ha aportado mucha información, no solamente los ponentes, sino hemos tenido grandes locutores que, bueno, de los que hemos aprendido muchos, todos hemos aprendido de todos. Y yo creo que eso es lo importante, el poder compartir entre todos las experiencias, lo que uno vive en su país, y el poder de alguna manera, para mí es lo más importante, revalorizar el trabajo, poner en valor lo que una persona hace. Es increíble lo que una persona puede conseguir solamente con su voz, una voz aislada. El poder de esa voz es increíble. Y lo que produce cuando una voz está correctamente colocada, correctamente dicha en un comercial o en un documental, no se pueden ustedes imaginar lo importante que es de cara a que el oyente o el televidente o la persona que está detrás realmente consiga entender e implicarse en ese mensaje. Es fundamental la voz en ese sentido.
Y está comprobado científicamente, además.
Así que yo creo que ese es el mensaje. Es decir, señores empresarios, agencias, etcétera, etcétera, valoren el trabajo que estos grandes profesionales hacen.
Es
porque
un gran trabajo
es muy importante.
Creo yo, es un gran trabajo de autoestima profesional, y creo que con docentes como tú, René, o como tú, Emma, van a contribuir sensiblemente para que eso pase. Todos nos hemos quedado aquí en el Spanish Voice Over Day con la sensación de que un día no alcanza. De hecho, me siento inmensamente honrada y feliz y agradecida porque Gerald Griffith, el organizador de todo el evento Voice Over Atlanta, antes de que ocurriera el Spanish Voice Over Day, me dijo, da por hecho que el año que viene lo vas a hacer de nuevo. Y ya me dijo, con un solo día no alcanza, vamos a tener que hacer otro día más, vaya a saber uno, vamos a saber seguramente más adelante con más detalle la expectativa que tiene la organización del evento, pero también en función de la respuesta del público, si vamos a tener dos días o capaz que tres días exclusivamente para nosotros. Yo les quiero agradecer profundamente que hayan sido parte de todo esto. Curiosamente, no fui yo quien los fui a buscar a ustedes. El cosmos, el universo, la energía de toda esta pasión que sentimos por lo que hacemos, se ha puesto a nuestro favor para que nos conozcamos, y ustedes también sintieran una atracción por ser parte de todo esto. Les quiero agradecer por vuestro conocimiento, por vuestro amor a la profesión, por envisionar en la locución un arte como lo han sabido demostrar todos que así lo sienten. Y bueno, si Dios quiere, nos vemos el año que viene.
Si Dios quiere, a mí me gustaría dejar claro que, bueno, primero darte las gracias. Ella es quien ha hecho posible esta labor, ella es quien ha hecho posible tener este día, iniciar este, porque siempre he dicho desde el primer día, esto es el inicio de algo mucho más grande, y es gracias a la labor que ha hecho Simón, así que todos tenemos que estarte muy agradecidos.
Muchas gracias a ustedes.
Igual, me identifico en todo con lo que acaba de decir Emma. De verdad, ella ha sido la artífice de todo lo que ha ocurrido acá. Y le deseo éxitos, muchísimos éxitos, los merece. Es una gran colega, una gran profesional, tiene muchísimos méritos. Y yo sé que también, como lo dije al comienzo de mi charla, esto es el comienzo de algo. Y podemos hacer una conferencia itinerante, podemos reunirnos aquí cada año, dos días, los días que haga falta. Aquí estaremos.
Muchísimas gracias. Y gracias a EWAPS, además, por regalarnos este momento, por regalarnos esta también primera vez de salir 100% en español, haciendo historia desde el Spanish Voice Over Day para todos ustedes, donde quiera que se encuentren. Hasta la próxima.
So how cool is that? I just listening to that makes me want to learn Spanish more now, I tell you. At the very beginning, I totally forgot to mention, I'm sorry, but that was a Memo Saucedo from Florida, South Florida. I just wanted to show an example of one of the presenters, and he actually was coming in over Skype, which was really cool. I even got around and did a group photograph with him at the end, with him on Skype and the screen and everybody. It was a really, really cool event. It sounded like a lot of ground was covered. Even Voices.com, one of the representatives from Voices.com was in there, and she fielded questions about rates. And it sounds like it was a really, really unique opportunity for a lot of people to discuss the needs that they have. So cool to be there.
Yeah. Sorry I missed it. Of course, I miss any opportunity to meet up with Simone. So
but, I know you wouldn't want to, but you wouldn't want to miss an opportunity to miss Simone. She is amazing.
Yeah,
such energy. But yes. That's it. So I guess we can take a break. Actually, yeah. This is a live break because we're going to talk about
Harlan Hogan at VoiceOverEssentials.com. And so, you know, we talk about Harlan every week, but I got to tell you, you guys, you've been going to his website, you've been buying his stuff, and we have to tell you something. Keep doing it. Because
he just renewed his sponsorship for another six months. Right. That's why.
For another 6 months. So, you know, he's going to be here well past 200 episodes.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that. But we wouldn't have him here unless we believed in the stuff that he had there. You know, aside from his own products, you can get a lot of other stuff through his website. But he also has a lot of great books there. Probably every book on voiceover, which is what about this high? You know, stack that high?
Yeah, it's in the career resources section, which I'm showing right now on the site.
You can see some of the books that he has. So if you want to do some light reading or some heavy reading about voiceover, you can get it from there. And we highly recommend you do that. Because, you know, Harlan's about education. And he's about making the voiceover business a better place and making your voiceover career more productive by giving you stuff that is affordable, but extremely quality. It has extreme quality for, you know, creating voiceover, and that includes instructing you how to do it, especially with his own book.
Yeah, he's got his autographed edition of Voice Actor's Guide to Recording at Home and on the Road, which was updated a few years ago, so it's much more current. And so if you kind of like, if you're into that thing, you like autographs, and you want to have a little bit of Harlan in your life, like we have every week,
this
is one way to do it.
Yeah, so go on over to voiceoveressentials.com. Buy all the best voiceover stuff there is, including all the great you know, resource material that he has, and you will not regret it because you'll have the best stuff and the best information. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com and tell him we sent you. And it's easy to do. Just go to the bottom of our page here that you're now watching the show on and click on the picture of Harlan talking into his Portabooth Pro, and that will take you right there and let him know that we sent you there, and he likes hearing that and likes seeing that. So
that's what keeps him, that's what keeps him renewing his sponsorship for so long, and him knowing that you guys are supporting him by, or supporting us by buying his products. So we really appreciate the support. Dan Harlan, you've been there from the very beginning.
We love you, man.
Love you, buddy.
All righty.
We'll be right back after this one.
All right.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Now back to EWABS with Dan and George.
No, it's George and Dan.
No, it's not. It's Dan and George.
George and Dan.
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 George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan.
Dan and George.
Dan and George.
George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan. Dan.
And we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop. So we've been asking you for some questions to ask us. In a couple of minutes, we're going to answer a few questions. And then George has an interview with Susan Bennett.
Bennett.
Who is the voice of Siri, who every time we use her for, you know, navigation, we end up usually in the opposite place. Where is it sending us?
Well, it's not Susan's fault.
Oh, no. She's just putting the voice in there. It'll be fascinating to hear how she does that. Anyway, what's the first question we have here? I think it's for you.
Okay, I'll take it. J.S. Gilbert asks, what do you have to say, J.S.? Was there a big aha moment in Atlanta? Did I hear or see something that caused me to think differently? Open my eyes. That's a good question. I didn't get to really attend as many of the breakout sessions and panels and things that I liked. And it's only because I wasn't trying to hide. I was just being asked questions the whole time. I was either in one of the halls or in one of the open areas where people could talk to me. So I was I was helping people pretty much the whole weekend. So I can't say I had a really big aha moment, but I do have to say that the Spanish panel, if I was going to pull something out of the air, excuse me, that would have to be the aha moment, the success of that Spanish day and seeing how powerful it is to engage people from other countries. And it just makes you think about the other languages that you could expand into and It just really is inspiring. If there's any second language that should be covered at any voiceover conference, it certainly should be Spanish. It's a huge market, and there's a lot of folks that are looking for information like they had there. And also, anybody out there who's watching this and thinking, geez, we should do a Spanish language show, well, go for it. We really think you should, because people are hungry for this information.
Absolutely. All right. JS also asks, he has a few questions here. What's the one big thing that you see that just gets you to slap your head and say, I can't believe that?
okay, I gotta go.
Well, George and I have agreed never to discuss politics on this show, so we won't go
there. Yeah, we're not going there.
Yeah, we're not going there. I can't believe that. You know, there's nothing in voiceover that I don't believe, because I look at this and it's really so simple and it's not rocket science. And I can't believe that people, you know, don't understand how simple it is, that they tend to overthink it. Like our friend earlier on who wrote this incredibly long question about, well, do I do this or do I do that? Just stand in front of the freaking mic and go. I can't believe that. What about you?
I can't believe that people will upgrade their production computer, or sometimes the only computer that they have, to the bleeding edge latest thing as soon as it comes out, thinking it's got to be the best thing out. It's got to be the best because it's new. It's something that I drive into the dirt all the time. Please don't do it. And people still do it. They get dragged into it some way or the other. They get tricked into it. They're tired of the Apple computer reminding them about Yosemite, and or some tech computer IT person says, you better upgrade or you won't be secure, or something crazy. And then their system goes down. You know, that's something that I can't believe people still do that. So there you go, JS. We tried our best to answer that one.
Yeah, he's probably got another one in here. The lovely Shelly Avellino asks, is there anyone big in the voiceover industry that you two haven't met yet? If so, who is it? Or is there someone you'd like to meet that you haven't met yet? Well, there's one person who I've wanted to get on this show for a long time, and I know our crack producer, Catherine Gurdon, is working on that. Will Lyman. You know, who is the voice of Frontline, and he's the voice on the most interesting man in the world commercials.
Right.
Be thirsty, my friends. That's not him. That's the actor that does that. But Will Lyman voices that. Yeah. And, you know, he was public television for so long, and then he broke out into commercial stuff, and he's big time, and he's got such a distinct voice, and I listen to him all the time, and I want to sound like him. Well, I can't sound like him, because only he sounds like him.
Right.
But what is it that he's doing in his delivery that is just so darn good that he is, you know, that big in the industry and so much in demand? I can't wait to meet him. And once I get out to California, I know I'll get the chance to meet him. And I want to see him on this show.
Well, so I know I definitely want to have Rob Paulson on.
Yeah,
Rob, I mean, Paulson, we've had Maurice LaMarche on, you know, from Pinky and the Brain. You know, we've had the Brain on. Now we got to have Pinky on.
Pinky, yeah.
So I'm really hoping we get Rob one of these days. He's a busy voice actor. He has a show of his own. We'll try to get him on. We'll work all of our connections. See, and the other one, oh, this is the name, Billy West. Dying to get Billy West on the show.
We want
to
get Billy West on for some time.
Oh my gosh.
We've had Tom Kenny on. We have to get Billy West.
Yes. Love, love, love him.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, Frank Castellaneta or one of those folks. Be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be fun to do. You know, after this question, we'll go to the thing about Siri. So don't go away. Yeah, that's a good one. Dan, how about Mic Pre ADDA versus an interface? Well, okay. Well, I've been preaching about this for a while. You don't need the most expensive preamp out there, especially if you're out in your dining room, living room combination, because you're in a home studio. I think a lot of people are taking advice from recording studio engineers who work in these acoustically sterile environments where they can have a Grace preamp or a really good Focusrite preamp. You don't need an external mic preamp if you're working in a home studio, because it will make your mic way too sensitive. But the preamps that you can get in very inexpensive, interfaces like a Scarlett 2Y2 or some of the other Focusrite series, or a lot of people like the new Steinbergs that come out, or the Epigees. They're built-in interfaces. In the interface is a built-in preamp, and they work just fabulous. So I don't believe in those big preamps unless you are in a big professional studio with somebody controlling the levels on the other end.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where the divide between high-end AD converters and preamps and your Scarlett 2i2s is shrinking. And I would love to hear a comparison, a true, really good blind A-B test comparing, a system like a 2i2 and some high-end gear, and see how many people, not just people, but how many producers
can hear
the difference. That's what I would like to see. So yeah, anyway, we'll go to some more questions in a minute, right, Dan? But before we do that,
I want to hear this interview.
Yeah, let's slip this interview in. This is Susan Bennett, who was wandering around VO Atlanta. She's in that town, so she came by to see people. Everywhere she went, people stopped to get a picture with this lady. She was cool. Here she is. Hi, this is George Whittam reporting for Whittam's World, and we have a voiceover celebrity here, one of those voiceover celebrities you would never recognize except for a very special thing about her voice. This is Susan Bennett. Susan, tell us what it is that has everybody wanting to have pictures with you. What is special about your voice?
George, what can I help you with?
Oh, that sounds rather familiar.
Yes, it does sound familiar. That is the original voice of Siri.
So how long ago were the tracks for Siri recorded that you worked on?
The very first bit of vocabulary that became the voice of Siri was done in 2005.
Way before the product was public.
Yeah.
So you had no idea what you were recording for.
No, we were doing voices. Those of us that did all of the digital voice stuff, text-to-speech type of voicing recordings, we thought, at least I was under the impression I was doing stuff for phone systems. But at that time, of course, nobody could picture a phone being in your hand and interacting with you. So it was. We didn't really know where all of those voices were going to end up.
You knew it was some kind of interactive technology, but you didn't know what the technology was.
I wasn't even sure about that.
Did you know who the client was? Did you know you were working for Apple?
No, I did not. No,
right,
Apple
right.
came in after the fact.
Yeah.
Apple came in after
Because
the fact.
They kind of bought the technology, or leased it.
They bought Siri. What I didn't know, I just found out about this not too long ago. The person who actually created Siri, the whole system, and I don't know if he was the one who chose my voice or if it was chosen later on, but he was the one who created Siri. We saw a Norwegian guy named Dag Kittlaus. And he named it Siri because he wanted his daughter to be named Siri, but then his daughter turned out to be a son. So he gave the name to the app instead of to his son.
That makes sense.
And it means a beautiful woman who helps you along your way. But of course, we all know that what it really means is, a chick with attitude who tells you where to go.
That a man will listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a feather. That's a big feather in your cap. Do you feel like having had that experience and that particular job has helped your career along, boosted it up? Do you think it really, was it advantageous? Did you use it for marketing, that kind of stuff?
I've definitely used it for marketing, and it's opened up different doors, different opportunities for me that I never would have had if I didn't have the fame of being the voice of Siri. Unfortunately, the thing that I wanted to get more out of was doing a lot of different other types of voice work.
Yeah.
That hasn't materialized as much as I'd hoped, which is why I took a wonderful animation seminar today with Andrea Romano.
You're here to learn, too.
Yes, absolutely.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, you can never stop learning because things keep changing and, there are trends. And
I'm so glad that you were here to do that.
Well, thanks.
And thanks for coming out. By the way, you don't know what we're doing this for, but this is for a show called East West Audio Body Shop. It's a goofy name for a show that's basically a voiceover talk show.
Okay.
So we'll be able to use this on one of our future episodes.
Excellent.
And it'll be fun to have shared you. And we'd love to have you on an actual show where we can actually talk for a half hour and have a long time to really relax and talk. My co-host, Dan Leonard,
is in Buffalo. Okay. I'm in Los Angeles. We Skype in together and we talk, and it's a talk show.
Excellent.
It's fun. So hope you can join us sometime.
I'm in.
Cool.
And then you can hear some other things that Siri can do besides just Siri.
That's right.
Thanks so much. It's really nice to sit down and say hi.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Wow, she sounds like a regular gal.
She was delightful. She was so nice. Everybody that wanted to get a picture with her and talk, she was very nice.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and you know, listen to her all the time. You know, where can I get pizza? You know, that sort of thing. Anyway, all right. Well, that it was great that you were grabbing an interview. You probably have a bunch more. That
I do. I'll have more. I'll roll out over time. Yeah.
All right. Well, great. All righty.
Scott Chambers.
Yeah, we got a couple more questions here. Scott Chambers asks, so I have a question for you guys. Well, we're here to answer them. And I'm probably the perfect person to answer this. How does WovoCon differ from a conference like VoiceOver Atlanta? Well, WovoCon is a convention for members of World Voices Organization. The people that go are, you know, vetted members of the organization. They're professional members. They've met our standards that we've set for membership. And really what we do at WovoCon is discuss the future of World Voices and how we can all work together to make the organization better, what issues we want to talk about, what things, you know, what influence we want to have in the industry, and that sort of thing. Whereas something like VoiceOver Atlanta is really an expose of, you know, what goes on in the voiceover industry and, you know, and teaching and technique and those. We cover a little bit of that kind of stuff, but, at WovoCon.
Is there anything beyond that, though? Because it sounds like it really is focused on just making WovoCon better. I mean, is there actually any, you know, educational content?
We spend Saturday afternoon, doing breakout sessions like we do, like you do at any other conference, although it's more... More like FAFCON, where we pick the subjects and it's more of an open conversation than it is presentations and stuff like that. And that's
so you mean I don't have to do a super formalized presentation when I go?
No.
Oh, good.
You ever seen me do it? Well, we've done some super formalized presentations. They just don't come out so formal. But yeah, I mean, there's some people will present things, you know, that are pre-planned. And I know at the next one coming up, we've got a couple of big talent names coming in who are going to address the crowd. Unfortunately, I can't go this year, which breaks my heart being a vice president and really, knowing everybody in the organization, I'm really going to miss it. But we're tied up with the move and selling the house right now. So, you know, my priorities are getting that done so we can be out in California where life will be warmer. That's really how that differs.
Good answer. Shelly Avellino says, a question I do a lot of standing in my booth. I'm standing right now, standing the whole show. Even for long narrations, what would you suggest for floor treatment that's not only good for sound, but comfortable? Awesome question. I'm standing on a mat right now to improve because I'm standing on a hardwood floor. So let me grab it. My back is a little bit sore. After standing for 2 hours, the bottom of my lower back, the lumbar, does get a little bit sore. I have to stretch. But this is I think they're used for like kitchens and stuff. It's the back of it actually says what it is. If I can do it without destroying everything in my office.
Yeah. A New Life Gel Mat.
Yeah, New Life Gel Pro Mat. You can get them on Amazon. And that's what I'm standing on. So it provides more support and makes it a lot more comfortable. I usually stand here with no shoes on, usually in socks or just bare feet, and I stand on this mat, and it helps a lot. And any mat that's used for like kitchen areas where people are working on their feet all day long, you know, they'll work pretty well. So I can recommend something like that. But cool question. I really like working standing. It keeps my energy level up, and it keeps me from slouching and. Again, my back gets a little bit sore from time to time, but it seems to be a good trade-off. So,
All right.
Well, we got a little bit more left in the show, but before we end up the show,
just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
All right, Yeah, a few announcements. We got a couple of things coming up here. Next week we have, this will be a fascinating, because it's tax season and we're all running our own businesses and we got to figure out how to do taxes. Some of us have accountants. Some of us have, you know, we use TurboTax or whatever.
Right.
We have a CPA accountant who works for Roger Leopardi. And her name is KK Barton, and owner of the Barton Group out of Montana. And apparently she can help us with our tax questions for being freelance voice artists.
Do you know how hard it was to get a CPA during tax season? I mean, that was not easy. I mean, Catherine really busted her butt to hump to find somebody. So I'm really glad. And, you know, it won't be too late for many of you. I'm sure many of you have probably haven't started. So could be helpful. This is really good one to be on live because you're going to want to ask a lot of your own questions.
Lots of questions.
April 6th, we are going to take that one off. It's right in the middle of spring break for a lot of us and Easter break things. So we are going to go dark that week. And the weeks following, those are in the works. So stay tuned to all of our social media so we can let you know when.
And if you've got any suggestions, send them to us at ewebshop@gmail.com. Somebody perhaps you want to see on this show.
That's right. We definitely look at what you guys you suggest. And this is a good time to mention, we do still have a survey that's still live on our site. So if you've been watching the show for a while and you haven't filled it out in the last year or two and you have some new ideas, or if you've never seen it before, right on our website at the very top. I hope it's still on the website. I don't know if I see it right now.
Contact podcast.
It's not on the site. I gotta put it back up.
Put it back on the site.
I'll put it back on. There you go. I'm gonna put it back. No wonder nobody's added anything to it lately. Anyway, we have an ongoing survey for ways that we might be able to improve the show, things you'd like to see about the show, what you don't like. And we'll put that link back live again on ewebs.com. We'd love your input on how we can make the show better and better.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna make it a lot better come August.
I know.
We're really gonna revamp when I get out to California, and we're gonna have a great time and have a lot more live in studio guests, which will be really cool.
Yeah, we're gonna be the heart of the studio zone. There's gonna be a lot of people accessible to us up there.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
They'll just come on the other side of Ventura Boulevard and jump into my house.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
of course, killer.
There's no bathroom in the studio. They're gonna have to come through the house. The wife is thrilled about that.
Oh, we'll see. Maybe you have to build one on later. Anyway. Yeah. narratorhelper.com. That's my wife's website for anybody that needs help with proofing, editing, and mastering their audiobooks. So go check that out. We got the show logs. If you're, especially tonight, I hope we get some good show logs.
Translation.
Yeah, some translations from some of you, if anybody can send something in. We'd love to get a translation of that, the Spanish section of the show, but it's a great place to find the notes from the show. It's broken down by time, so if you see something you like in the notes, you can click the time, and it jumps right to it on YouTube. Really cool. Yeah.
What happened to the thing with the ticket for FAF Camp?
Oh, you know what? I just saw a note from Larissa that somebody snatched it up.
Oh. So
it's done.
All right.
Done deal. Nobody, no ticket.
Never mind. You didn't hear it from us.
They go fast. Even a week before, the week of the event, they go fast.
That's right. Let's see. The podcast, Stitcher Radio, iTunes. You can listen to this show in your car. You know, and you can listen to it in Spanish for half an hour this week, too.
Or if you travel a lot like me in the plane, I queue up a whole bunch of podcasts. That's what I listen to on the plane.
I should start doing that. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @ewabs_show. And make sure you subscribe and like our videos. If you haven't been to the show before, if one of your first times, all 181 episodes are there. And that is going to be really cool. And record your own intro. George is typing this, and I'm sort of reading it as he types it. Watch the intro to the show, which you can watch over and over again on YouTube, and time your voice to the beginning, so your voice can be on the intro to East West Audio Body Shop.
That's right,
and or whatever the name we come up with when we get out to California, because it won't be East West Audio Body Shop. It'll be something even better.
Yeah, we're going to rebrand.
But that's not for another 4 months. Yeah. But do that and send it to ewabshop@gmail.com.
Yeah. Use the example you heard tonight as your template. And the timing is everything. It's just like a real promo. It's a fun practice at recording promo and getting the timing right.
That's right. And we'd like, of course, to thank a lot of people. First off, our wives, who again put up with this every week, sometimes a little bit better than others, but it'll be a little bit better in the future. But thanks to Marcy and Amy for all their help on that. Kathy Curran, our fantastic producer, Anthony Gettig, and tonight Shelley Avellino for doing a great job of getting those questions out of the chat room. Jack DeGolia for doing an amazing job with our show notes, which tell you everything that went on in the show. And Tim McKean for doing the voiceover essentials, which are growing, and Lee Pinney for being Lee Pinney.
Everything you do, Lee.
That's right. Yes. And our sponsors, of course, Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio, providing uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth, which was flawless tonight. Absolutely flawless. And that's going to do it for us. Right on time. 90 minutes on the button. So we're going to call it a night, and we'll see you next week and learn all about taxes. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East-West Audio Body Shop.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you.
Take care, everybody.